And we're just going to read one scripture here tonight. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. Tonight we're going to be continuing the seven secrets from Solomon and looking at our fourth lesson, and it will be titled Success at Work. Success at Work. We're going to see what Solomon says about having success at work. Would you ask God to speak to us tonight? Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your presence, for your power in this house. We pray, God, that you just challenge us. Speak to our hearts, God. Help us to succeed, to excel, to go beyond just the norm, Lord, but to do something great through our work, that you would get the glory, Lord, that we'd serve you through our work. We give you the praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great few lessons we've been having from the book of Proverbs, dealing with the secrets from the wisest man who ever lived. May I remind us tonight that, of course, all of this begins with the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's where we must begin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We must have a reverence and a respect for God, for his presence. That's the beginning of us finding wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Then in our second lesson, we looked at how friends make a difference. I tell you, our friends do have an effect on us. They affect our thoughts, our morals, our values. Someone once said, show me your closest friends and I'll show you your future. Amen. Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Friends do make a difference. Last week we looked at the principle of being money wise. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was also the wealthiest. And so when Solomon talks about wisdom and money, we'd better listen. We'd better listen. And so these principles of being money-wise that we looked at, first of all, we looked at how God owns it all. We've got to start there. You've got to realize God owns it all. Amen. And secondly, we must manage our money or it will manage us. If we don't manage our money, it'll manage us. And we'll be wondering, where in the world did it all go? We've got to keep good records. We've got to plan our spending. We've got to save for the future. Third, we realize we don't look to money for happiness. Amen. Money's a trap. Money is a trap. If we look to it for happiness, we'll come up very short. So our happiness does not come from money. Fourth, we looked at how distressing debt is. Anybody say amen? Solomon said in Proverbs 22:7, said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Some translations say the borrower is slave to the lender. And so we encouraged us to take an active approach in freeing ourselves from the burden of debt. I believe that there are great financial blessings for those that would be willing to be a faithful steward of the money that God gives us to manage. And if we'll be a willing conduit, I believe he wants to funnel resources through us. I believe he's looking for faithful stewards that he can use to finance end time revival. And so, Lord, let us have favor financially to be money wise, to be money wise. Amen. Now, looking on to our lesson for tonight, success at work. Success at work. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, our text, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Another translation says it like this. It says, commit your work unto the Lord, and your plans shall succeed. Commit your work unto the Lord, and your plans shall succeed. Does anybody want your work to be successful. You want your work to be successful. Well, that's what Solomon's going to help us with tonight. Amen. You see, we're going to spend an estimated $120,000 to $150,000 hours working. That's a lot of time working. That's a lot of hours. They estimate 40% of one's waking hours can be spent working. If you're the parents of young children, you can add quite a few more hours on to your day taking care of kids. According to a recent survey, the average American in 1973 spent 40 hours a week at work. 1973. In 1987, 46 hours per week. Today, if you're professional, the average is 52 hours a week. If you're a small business owner, the average is 57 hours per week. The fact is, we are going to spend more time working, commuting to and from work, thinking about work, than what we'll spend eating and drinking and playing and vacationing combined. Work dominates our life. Work is a very, and some of you are thinking, yeah, I think I even spend even more than that sometimes. So since that's the way it is, we need to find out the secrets of being successful at work. What does God have to say about all of this? I believe he wants us to succeed at work. If we commit our work to the Lord, and I believe that it will succeed. He said if we commit our work to God, that our plans will be successful. That's a guarantee. That's a tremendous promise, But we've got to realize with every promise, there's a premise. With every promise, there's a condition. In order for our work to be successful, we've got to first commit our work to the Lord, and then it will succeed. So let me ask us here tonight, who do we work for? Think about, who do you work for? Naturally, we might think of the name of the company, maybe, that we work for. Maybe the one who signs our paycheck, the one we answer to. We might envision a certain supervisor or the president, maybe, of the company. If you're self-employed, you might say, well, I work for my customers. That's the truth. I work for people who fuel the business. Maybe you're a homemaker. I tell you, that's the most intense work that there is. Parents, who do you work for? How do you answer that? For your children? For your spouse? Who are you doing whatever it is that you do? Who are you doing that for? And so no matter how we all may answer that question, I think it's important for us to pause here tonight and have a clear picture of who we really work for. Whether it's the president of a company, a branch manager, or maybe for our customers as a self-employed person or for a family, above all, we've got to remember the one that we truly work for in whatever we find our hands to do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It tells us, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hey, whether we work in a factory, or in a retail store, or for the city, or some type of public work, or if we work at home, whatever we do, we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whatever we do in our flesh, whatever work we are involved in, our earthly boss, Yes, we're supposed to serve them, but we're supposed to serve them as unto Christ. As unto Christ. It says, not with eye service, not with eye service as men pleasers. We're not supposed to just do good when our boss is watching us, when he's got his eye on us. But every day we're supposed to work according as we're working unto the Lord, who is even greater than our earthly boss. Amen? Apostolic workers ought to be the best employees there are. I believe that. Apostolics ought to be the best employees that a company can have. It ought to be a plus when a godly woman goes to a job interview and it's easy to see that not only are they willing to work for a company, but it's clearly seen in their modesty, it's seen in their spirit, that they work for a higher authority as well. Amen. It ought to be a benefit for a boss to interview a man that he lives according to godly principles. You know, if a boss has to choose between two men and one of them lives according to the principles of the world, but the other is nicely dressed and you can tell has a great spirit and is full of the Holy Ghost, there's a difference about that. That ought to be something that a boss could tell, and that boss is going to know that if he hires that man, he's going to be trustworthy, he's going to be ethical, he's going to be hardworking, and not only working for the one who signs the paycheck, but he's going to be working to please God and to please the principles of God's Word. So whoever it is that we work for in a human sense, ultimately we work for God. We work for the Lord. We're to be His servants. So let's look at some secrets tonight about Solomon talking about having success at work. First of all, if we want to have success at work, we must seek God's direction. Now that's a novel idea, to seek God's direction about work, to actually include God in our dreams, in the planning for our future. You know, God forbid that we just blaze along this trail all alone and trying to seek our ambition and trying to seek our aspirations, but neglect to talk to God about it. I believe that God wants to be involved with something as important as our work, and we need the will of God in our lives. So when we're in the will of God, there can be good days and there can be bad days. But if we're in the will of God, it makes those bad days so much easier. When you know that the hand of God is upon you, and you know that that career that you are in is something that God has led you to be a part of, that means in the good days and in the bad days, it's so much easier working that job and working in that career. We've got to know that there's a greater purpose for us. There's a greater purpose than just punching a time clock. There's a greater plan for us. We're part of a much larger purpose than just that career or that job, but we're working for the Lord in the vocation that He has called us to do. Our text says if we'll commit our work to the Lord, then our plans will be successful. Remember the word plans there. Proverbs 15 and 8 tells us the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So God detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but He delights in the prayer of the upright. So prayer. The first scripture talked about planning, and the second scripture talked about prayer. Tell your neighbor right now, turn and tell somebody, say, planning and prayer. Planning and prayer. Those are two things that go together. It's a major theme in the book of Proverbs. It's a major theme from Solomon, planning ahead. We've got to have a plan. We've got to sit down and plan for what's ahead. It takes more than just hard work to succeed. It takes planning as well. And to plan correctly, we need God's direction. So we pray seeking God's direction. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my career? What is your will for my life? Now, I know that we're speaking to a wide variety of people here in the audience. Some of you are young. Some of you are in college. There might even be a few in here that are in high school. I'm not sure. Some of you working a career that you've been working at many years. Some of you are retired. But all of us, I believe, have a will of God for our life. I believe every single one of us, God cares enough about this major part of our life that He wants to direct us and He wants us to be fulfilled in the work that we do. Proverbs 13 and 16, it tells us, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, a prudent man, a wise man, thinks and they plan with knowledge before they act, but a fool, he doesn't. And he even brags about his foolishness. We need to think ahead. We need to plan. We need to set some goals, and that planning needs to be done prayerfully. We need to seek God's will and seek God's direction, because He knows what the future holds, and if we will let Him, He can set us on the right track. He can give us the best path for the future. You know, companies have planning retreats. Here at Harvest, we have a leadership retreat where some of our main leaders come together and we plan for the next year and beyond. We've looked at planning for some major things for well over the next 15 years. Those are good things to do. But why not do it for our own life? Why not schedule a little time and say, God, I need to know some direction. I know You may not show me every step of the way, but Lord, help me to see just down the road a little bit, 5 years from now, God, what do You want from me? What do You want my life to look like in 10 years, Lord? What, maybe just let me have a little glimpse of 15 years from now, Lord. Where do You want me to be? Lord, reveal just a few things about that. So based on what You speak to me, I can start planning right now to see those things come to pass. It's one thing to have a dream and a goal and a plan, but if we don't break it down into smaller, accomplishable steps, we'll never reach that big goal. And so I believe that God cares enough about this that He can give us a peace and He can give us direction and help us to be successful at work. We want to be successful at work, in our career, in our study at school. We need to seek God's direction for the future. Amen. Secondly, today, if we want to have success at work, we've got to sharpen our skills. Sharpen our skills. Turn and tell somebody, sharpen your skills. You know, anybody remember pencil sharpeners? Does anybody? All of you remember that, I guess. If we go downstairs, they're like, I don't know. I guess they still have those. I used to go to the pencil sharpener just when I needed a break, you know. Kind of look at everybody, talk to everybody, and sharpen a little bit. But you could start off the day with a super sharp pencil. But what happens? Over time, it gets dull. God has given every one of us talent and ability and experience, but we've got to develop that talent. We've got to grow in experience. We've got to develop the abilities that we've been blessed with to sharpen our skills. We must never stop learning in life. Amen. Life is full of learning experiences at every level. No matter where we're at, life is full of learning experiences. We must never stop growing and learning and sharpening and honing our skills. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, I told you in one of these other lessons, some of this language, it's not even King James English. This was even much before that. So let's break down the scripture here. The New King James Version says it like this. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. So think about it. If we don't sharpen the axe is dull. And we've got to work even harder to use that axe because it's dull. God forbid that we be the dullest tool in the shed. Amen. A sharp axe doesn't take much strength to do the job. when we grow, when we improve, when we're sharpened, we can work smarter and not harder. Skills bring success. Somebody says, well, I'm so glad I'm out of school. I'm so glad I graduated. I'm so glad I don't have to go back to that place. We might be out of school, but we never be done with learning. We need to always be sharpening our skills. Think about this with me today. Are we more valuable to our business, to our company, to our job, than we were a year ago? Have we grown? Are we sharper today? We become more valuable by continually learning and developing. All leaders have to be learners. We have to learn. The moment we stop learning, we can put a cap on our leadership. We have to continue learning. And with all the resources available today, you just pick the subject. If you want to learn, there's an online course. There's some way that you can study and keep sharpening that axe. So there's a couple of ways to learn. First of all, you can do it by trial and error. Trial and error. That's the painful way, you know. We do learn from our mistakes. Hopefully, we learn from our mistakes. But experience, it takes time. It takes time. And so if we're determined just to do it on our own by trial and error, we're pretty limited in what we can learn. But the other way to sharpen that axe is to learn from other people. Someone once said, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. Is anybody thankful some people around you had some experience and you were able to learn from the experience of others? And there's some mistakes you didn't have to make because somebody else made those along the way, and we learn from their trial and error. So we learn to ask for advice. One of my favorite Proverbs, 11:14, says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, we're going to fall. We'll be disappointed. Our plans are going to fade. But in the multitude of counselors, we'll be successful. If we have some plans and some goals, we need to talk to some people that maybe are doing already what we want to do and ask what works and ask what doesn't. And in the church, we have one of the best networks that there is. There's all kinds of people in this church that do all kinds of work and hobbies. And so we don't have to learn everything by trial and error. But Christians can be, the most skilled people in the workplace because of the network that we already have called the church. Remember Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If we'll commit our work to the Lord, if we'll work as and do it as unto him and seek his guidance for the future, if we'll continually sharpen our skills for the glory of God and try to be better and better and better, amen, and on, always developing, always improving, then I believe that God gets the glory from that. God gets the glory from that. Amen. So, first of all, we've got to put God first and seek his will for your future, for your job, for your career. And secondly, continue always to sharpen that axe, to sharpen our skills. Third, when we commit our work to the Lord, that means that he's a partner in it. So if we want to have success in work, if we want our career to be blessed, if we want our job to be blessed, I believe that as the Lord is a partner, we ought to share the profit with the Lord. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So once again, that promise, it comes with a premise. All right? We honor the Lord with the first fruits, and he will bless our work. He will bless our business. He will bless our life. He will bless our ministry, whatever it is that we do. Let me ask you tonight, what do these men have in common? William Colgate, he was the founder of Colgate Palmolive Corporation. Henry Crown, the founder of Quaker Oats Corporation. William Proctor, the founder of Procter & Gamble. Wallace Johnson, the founder of Holiday Inns. Robert Welch, the founder of Welch's Grape Juice. John D. Rockefeller Sr., the founder of Standard Oil. J.C. Penney. What do all these have in common? Every single one of them have published testimonies about how tithing was the difference in their business. Isn't that amazing? From every single one of them, from the very beginning of their business, they said, God is going to be my partner in this, and so I'm going to tithe at least that first 10% back to him. And some of them increased it on through their life so that they were tithing 90 to 95% and living on what was left. Isn't that amazing? They made God their business partner. I recently read a story. There was a young man who he began a small cheese business in the city of Chicago, and it didn't go so good. And the business was tanking, and he was going into debt. And he talked to a friend who gave him some very good advice. And the friend said, well, here's your problem. You're trying to run this business all by yourself. You haven't made God a partner in your business. And so the young man said, you know what? If God wants to run the cheese business, that's fine. I'll just work for God, and I'll work with him and work for him, and we'll share the profits. And so from that moment on, God became the senior partner in that cheese business. And the business grew, and it was very blessed, and it became the largest cheese company in the world. That young man's name was J.L. Kraft. Isn't that amazing? Have we made God our partner in our work? Have we made God our partner in our business? Come on, we're going to spend half of our life working. And if God isn't involved in our work, then he's not involved in our life. We've got to seek God's direction. We've got to continually work to sharpen our skills to be the best that we can be. We've got to, I believe, share the profits. And when we go into business with the Lord, God blesses. Amen. Fourthly today, persistence is a major theme of Proverbs. And that's the fourth principle in having success at work. Stay with it. Stay with it. Be persistent. If you've been reading through the book of Proverbs, we're challenging all of us to read at least one chapter. And I want to say that I haven't done that. Brother Roger, you're going to have to forgive me. I know you've been working on that. But I've got a few chapters to catch up. But read a chapter a day of Proverbs. And read whatever one corresponds to the day of the month. And if you've been reading through the book of Proverbs, then there's this guy that keeps popping up. There's this one guy, he keeps popping up a lot. His name is Sluggard. Yeah, Solomon had a lot to say about Sluggard. He's the lazy guy. He doesn't like to work. Solomon talks about, well, the lazy guy does this, but the diligent guy does that. The sluggard does this, but the persevering man does that. Perseverance, persistence, diligence, determination, endurance. These are all qualities that Solomon says they're ingredients for success in our work. Persistence pays off. Persistence pays off. We conquer by continuing on. We become a success simply by outlasting our critics. Keep on pressing on. That mighty oak tree was just a little nut that refused to give up its ground. Praise the Lord. Keep on. Stay with it. The Battle of Waterloo was fought in June of 1815 in what is now present-day Belgium. And the French army under Napoleon Bonaparte, he was defeated by two armies. It was a British army led by the Duke of Wellington and a Prussian army led by the Prince of Wallstadt. The Duke of Wellington, he was later asked, how did you defeat, how the British Army, how did it defeat Napoleon and his mighty army? The Duke of Wellington said it was because the British Army had been trained to fight for 5 additional minutes longer than anybody else. They'd been trained to fight for just a little bit longer, to stick it out just a little bit more, to press on just a little further, to stay the course, to keep on keeping on. Most people give up way too soon. Most people give up way too soon. But successful people, they don't quit on their dream. They keep pressing on. They're faithful to it. They keep working. They don't know how to quit. They don't give up, but they keep working. We've heard all these stories of people who were just unstoppable. Take, for instance, the man who first flew over the English Channel. He had built 10 planes, and every one of them crashed. But the 11th time he built a plane that succeeded. What if he had stopped on the 8th or the 9th? I'd probably stopped after the first one crashed, you know. If he would have given up, he would have never held the record. Thomas Edison experimented with over 700 elements trying to discover what would work in the light bulb. And somebody said, well, what a waste. That was 700 failures. But he said, no, it's not a waste. Now I just know 700 things that didn't work. It wasn't a failure. It was learning. So let me challenge you today. Stay with it. Hang in there. We don't succeed by just jumping from this to that. And if we can get some direction from God, if we can start working within God's plan for our life, if we can sharpen our skills, if we can put God first in our finances, and if we'll stay with it, if we will hang in there, I believe that persistence is a huge part of success. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. In other words, if we can be diligent in business, if we'll be diligent in our work, then we will succeed. We will excel. We'll be given influence. But we've got to do everything we can to be a diligent worker, a diligent worker. In order to be diligent, we can't be lazy. Proverbs 10:4 tells us, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. To be diligent, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be consistent day in and day out. In the little things that we do every day, it speaks to our employer. It speaks to our boss and our coworkers. It shows them that we're diligent, showing up on time, dressing appropriately, being upbeat, being positive, paying attention to detail, being committed to quality. All of those things speak so loudly and proclaim that we're a diligent worker. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11, it's such a great passage when it comes to diligence in our work. And Solomon writes, he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of that sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Solomon talks, he contrasts the sluggard to the ant. The ant works diligently. He works during the summer to provide food enough for the winter. And in one verse, Solomon talks about the sluggard. He refuses to work. He doesn't work during the growing season, and then he doesn't have any food at harvest time. The sluggard only makes one commitment. He's committed to relax. He's committed to take it easy. He tries to find any excuse to get out of work. Some of you that have been a boss, you've met some of those. We find a very curious verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. It says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." If you study this verse out, it says, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the streets. It doesn't say there actually is a lion in the streets. So if you study some of the meaning of this, it's almost like he imagines that there's a lion out there. He imagines that he's going to be destroyed if he goes out to work. He's got work to do, but he pretends he can't go to work because there's some kind of imaginary danger out there. Whatever excuse he can find to get out of work. How different the ant. That ant works diligently day in and day out. Maybe it's not a whole lot of progress at once. Maybe you can't really see a whole lot of progress that he's making, but over time a great difference is made because of the diligence of the ant. Help us, Lord, to be more like the ant than we are like the sluggard. We looked at Proverbs 13:11 last week. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Riches that are won through the lottery, through some get-rich-quick scheme, those things don't last, but it's by steady labor, it's through honest work that we get increase. Consider the ant. So if we're going to be diligent in our work, if we're going to be successful in our work, we must first seek God's direction. We've got to continually work to be sharpening our skills. We'll learn to share the profit, giving back to God the first fruits, and we'll stay with it, working diligently, working persistently. Praise the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be a diligent worker. I want you to remember this. How can we stay motivated to be diligent in our work? How can we stay motivated? First, I want you to think of your job, whatever it is. If you're still in college, think about the career that you're going to be going into. Number one, in order to stay motivated to keep being a diligent worker, remember, our work is an opportunity to serve God. Whatever it is, our work is an opportunity to serve God. Work's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's an opportunity to serve God. It's not a waste of time. God would not design for us to spend half of our waking hours in something that was a waste. But whatever we do, I believe we can do it as an act of service to God. And if we'll think about it like that, this is not just a job. I'm not just going to punch a clock, but this is a way that I can serve God through the work that he has allowed me to do. If we'll get that mindset, I believe it'll totally change our thinking about work. We'll do our best work. We'll learn to have joy in our work. We'll find it easier to be faithful in our work if we can realize this is an opportunity to serve God. Number two, our work is an opportunity to serve others. Somehow your job benefits others. Somehow you are serving others, maybe directly or indirectly, but somehow you are serving others. And so we learn to take pleasure in the fact that somehow this job is serving others. If you work in the medical field, it's clear, you're serving others. If you work at a store that sells a certain product, you're serving others. If you're building houses or building buildings, you're serving others. In being a servant, we can show the work of Jesus Christ to those around us. There's something incredibly satisfying about serving others. It's not just about helping ourselves, but when you serve others, there's a satisfaction that comes. And number three, we've got to realize our work is an opportunity to serve ourselves as well. Maybe you're not paid as much as you like. But still, think about it like this. You get paid for serving God, and for serving others around you. And the money that you earn, it gives you the opportunity to do some things that bring enjoyment and fulfillment to your life. You're able to support your family. You're able to provide for a home, to provide transportation. You can have food to eat. There may be a little extra to enjoy some type of hobby. You get paid for the work that you do, and so that is a motivation to work better. You're not just doing your boss a favor when you show up to work. That's your job. That's what we're paid to do, but that pay can provide a little motivation. In Proverbs 16:26, it says, "He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." The person that labors, he labors for himself because his hungry mouth motivates him to go out there and work. It drives him. Of course, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he said, "If any would not work, neither should he eat." Amen. So that ought to help us stay motivated. You got to remember, your work is an opportunity to serve God. It's an opportunity to serve others. And ultimately, it's an opportunity that serves our own needs as well. Would you stand with me tonight in closing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us to be successful. I believe that. I believe that. And to be successful, we have to be wise. And so we've been looking at the principles of godly wisdom. Solomon's given us some great secrets of godly wisdom. And when it comes to work, I believe God wants our work to bless us. I believe it. And so we've got to seek God's direction. Seek God's direction about your career, about your work. Keep sharpening those skills. Go to a conference that helps you go to the next level. Take an online course. Share the profit. Make God a partner in your work by giving back to God the first fruits of your increase. And then we absolutely must learn to stay with it, to be persistent, to be diligent. If we can transform our thinking about work, instead of it being something that, I gotta go to work today. Now, I know, early in the morning, it's easy to feel that way, but every day that we go to work, if we can look for a way that we can serve God through that job and we can serve others through that job, it will make work a whole lot more enjoyable. A quote attributed to Mark Twain, it says, "Find a job you enjoy doing and you'll never work a day in your life." If we can start to think about work as something, this is a way that I can serve God, this is a way that I can serve others, then I believe that God will help us to have joy in our work. I believe God, He places a high importance on something that we're going to spend half of our waking hours doing. And so, that being said, let's seek His will. What's His will for our work? What serves His purpose? What fits our personality? And what fits our abilities? And I believe that if we can let God direct us in that way, that our work won't even seem so much like work because it'll be a joyful thing to us. Now, I know some of you are between jobs and you're looking for a job. Some of you might be considering what career path you're going to take, and maybe some of you got a job, but you really would like to have another one. Maybe some of you have been working a long time and you're ready to stop working. Or maybe you got a job, but you want God to help you be a diligent worker. To be that go-to person in your company that your business just can't do without. I believe that God cares a lot about this because it's something that is a high part of our life. And so I believe He'll hear our humble prayer. I wonder if we could seek the Lord tonight that He would bless our work. For those of you seeking a career path, for those of you perhaps looking for a different job, that God would direct you and help you to seek His will and to find something that fits your personality, to fits your talents and abilities, but is in the will of God so that work can be a joy to you. Some of you today, maybe you've been at that job a long time, But somehow God could just open up a window of understanding and realize that through this job, it's not just a job, it's not just a paycheck, but there's somebody there that you're supposed to minister to. There's some way that you can serve God through this. Praise the Lord. Can we pray for God's blessing on our work here? Lord, I pray that you bless us in the area of our work. I pray that you'd help us to have success at work. Lord, I realize that there's some here today, they're looking for a career path. I believe that there's some here, they're looking for another job, and some perhaps they've been working at their job a long time. But God, I pray that you would give them a fresh vision of what that job can be to them. It's more than just a job. It's more than just an income. But Lord, I believe that you've given us that work so that we can somehow serve you and somehow we can serve others, Lord. It's more than just what it seems to this world. But God, I believe there's a spiritual purpose to the work that we will do. God, I pray that you would minister. I pray that you'd work. I pray that you'd help people to find that career path that is going to be a joy to them so that it really won't be a work, but it'll be an enjoyment. It'll be a joyful thing. I pray, God, that you would let there be a blessing as we put you first and we seek your will in our work and in our career. As we make you a partner, Lord, and we give you the first fruits of the increase that you've blessed us with. Help us to sharpen our skills, to sharpen that axe, Lord, to go to another level, to be of greater value to the company that we work for. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be persistent. Lord, help us to be persistent, to stay with it, to work hard, to be diligent, Lord. I pray that you let this church be full of the best workers in this city, Lord. Let them be the most dependable. Let them be the most resourceful. I pray, God, that they would be the most valuable to their companies and their businesses. I pray that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Give them favor with their co-workers. Give them favor with their boss, Lord. I pray that you would give them favor with customers. And help us, Lord, as we are working that job and that career, I pray that you'd help us to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory to God. In closing tonight, I don't know, there might be somebody here that you need a job. Or maybe you believe in God for a better job. Maybe you're seeking a career path and you don't know exactly which way it's going to be, but you'd like God to speak to you specifically. I just wonder, is there anybody here that you'd like us to pray specifically for you? You don't necessarily have to come up to the front, but if you just raise your hand right now, you say, you know what, I need a job, I need a better job, I need God to open the door, I need God to direct my life. We've got some young people here, we've got a couple ladies here, we've got a man back here, amen. Praise the Lord. Actually, why don't we do this? If you want us to pray about this, why don't you lift your hand, just raise it for a moment. I wonder if some of you brothers and some of you sisters might just reach over as appropriate and come pray with some of these, and let's agree together with them. We're two or three agree together. In Jesus' name, Lord, you see these needs. You see these situations. Praise the Lord. God, I pray that you'd supply the need. I pray that you'd open the door. Lord, I believe that you care very much about this. This is something that is a big part of our life, and Lord, we want to make you a part of that. I pray, Lord, that you would direct us, that you would open the doors. I pray that you would supply the needs. I pray that you would give us wisdom, Lord. We make a point right now to put you first in this process, to seek your will. Lord, to seek an open door that you would open to us right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would provide. I pray that you would supply the need. Lord, we're going to be faithful to you in giving out of the increase that you bless us with. Lord, we're going to be faithful to be a diligent worker. I pray that you would open the door, that this would be for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, let you receive the glory through this. Let us find a way that we can serve you through our work. Let us find a way to serve others, I pray, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for supplying these needs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen. I fully believe that there is power in the Word of God, that God's Word is anointed, that there is power in the Word of God. And it may not be a service where people are swinging from the chandeliers, but you start quoting the Word of God, you start studying the Word of God, and I believe God honors His Word. And so I expect to see some answers this next week. I really do. I expect to see some answers for some of you that are believing and asking God for an open door Praise the Lord. Let's be in prayer the next few days for these that are asking God for direction. And let's believe that God's going to provide. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, God bless you tonight. We appreciate you. Remember, all of you leaders, we do need to see you as part of the POA process in the staff office.